Welcome to the Weekly Overtake Podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor and Josh. Today, we'll be reviewing the MotoGP action from Qatar and discuss the upcoming start of the Formula One season in Australia. Welcome, Josh.
Welcome, Taylor. Good talking to you.
Yeah, good to be here. This is the inaugural episode. So, yeah, excited. Excited to discuss all this great racing action that we've had so far.
No, of course. We're going to learn a lot. As we go, of course, the show will change. We want input from you, the fans, to help us improve and deliver just good content, you know, something you want to hear every week and keep you on top of your game.
Yeah. Yeah. This is obviously there's other podcasts out there that kind of do the same thing, but, you know, we figure that we'll give you a fan perspective, true fan perspective. And if you like what you hear, make sure to go and like, subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a review if you can. It really helps out. Thank you. So let's get this started. So MotoGP was at Qatar last weekend, and it was a really great race. Really great way to start off the season. Almost a repeat of last season, at least in the MotoGP race. But we saw a lot of promise with a lot of rookies, and yeah, a lot of really great
Suzuki. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
maybe that team.
Yeah, Suzuki. Obviously, Ducati. You know, there's a lot of controversy. Call it aero package. Already getting heated in that area. So. Let's get into it.
All right, let's go. FP qualifying. So, results. Qualifying number one overall, Maverick Viñales from the Monster Energy Yamaha team. Right behind him, Andrea Dovizioso for the Ducati, and the infamous Marc Marquez for the Ripsol Honda team. That was your top three front row. Behind them, Jack Miller, Pramac Ducati team, and Quartararo rookie, correct? Right, Taylor?
That's right. Yep, just came up from Moto2.
The maybe not the fan favorite, but at least maybe Taylor's favorite and my favorite most of the time, Cal Crutchlow in sixth place. Those are your top two rows for the Qatar Grand Prix after qualifying.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple things in there. Obviously, Quartararo really showed out. I mean, you know, fifth place for the inaugural. Race, you know, his rookie season is pretty great. So obviously he's on the Petronas Yamaha satellite team. It's a brand new team. So, you know, they got a lot of stuff, you know, to work out. And so to come up on fifth, yeah, he really showed good pace. Now it was unfortunate what happened in the race, but, I think we're going to see a lot from him. I think he can really stay up there and fight with the top. And then Cal too. I mean, obviously, you know, Cal's coming off of a really horrible injury from Phillip Island last year. Shattered his whole bottom of his leg. Really, wasn't sure if he was even going to make it to the grid this year. So yeah, to come out sixth, you said qualifying, and then obviously his race performance was spectacular. So yeah, it's pretty great to see. Let's see Cal. But, you know, in the race, I think we saw, again, a lot of promise from a lot of rookies. I mean, Quartararo, Bagnaia, they all showed out really great. They had some growing pains. I mean, you know, Bagnaia, he lost the front of his wing, the Ducati, which really hurt him Quartararo obviously stalled on the grid during the warm-up, had to start from pit, but came out and really started setting the pace early, which on the face of it was impressive until you realize that Dovizioso was really just managing the race pace, as going as slow as he could, saving tires. you know, seeing what the rest of the pack could handle. So Quattro setting fastest laps early on, again, on its face was impressive. But
yeah, I think Dobby was really comfortable this past race at Qatar last year with the win. I think he knew what to expect and how to go at it. So like you're saying, when he was managing, kind of testing the waters and not pushing too hard early, but seeing what he was going to get, the type of attack or response from the pack that was building behind him. And it was a massive pack. It was six bikes up front separating from the rest of the field. Normally, like we talk about, you know, you see two or three guys that are fighting for that podium spot or the spots on the podium. But during this race, for at least halfway through, you saw a good group of six riders. Vinales again started out front, but what do you think happened to him? He fell back pretty quickly. I mean, we saw this last year where Vinales comes out. He was leading the points early on last season, got a few wins under his belt, but throughout the year, just really tapered off and expectations weren't met, frankly. So
I don't know if Yamaha is still struggling with the same issues they were struggling with in 2018. You know, they had this big issue with acceleration. You know, they couldn't get the power down, and so, you know, subsequently, I think we saw definitely Vinales struggle. Valentino Rossi, obviously, he's got a little bit of an outlier. I mean, he's just got so much experience. A lot of people want to write him off. You know, he's 40 years old, but clearly, judging by his race performance, he can still mix it up with the top of the field. I mean, coming up from 15th, I believe, qualifying to fifth, you know, just tenths really off of the Dovizioso's, you know, winning pace. So, yeah, that's it's really impressive. So will we see the 10th title for the doctor? I don't know. Personally, I don't think so. I think he has passed his prime and he is on the downhill, which unfortunately happens to a lot of all the greats. Almost everybody runs their career until they can't.
Listen, I didn't get into MotoGP until recently, so I know doctor's on the way down, but he's not out. He's still competing at a very high level. I don't think I would be surprised at all if he had 3-4 podiums this year. A race win is hard. You know, obviously anything can happen. Lots can change the outcome. But I wouldn't be surprised if he had a few podiums this year, you know, for him.
Oh, no doubt. So I mean, I expect him to be up there. But there's just such a domination right now with the Ducati and the Honda that, you know, I don't think he has the bike under him to do it, you know.
Well, definitely not within that Ducati Aero package that they ran last week. Obviously, that helped them, right? Didn't it? What do you think?
I think it did. Yeah, you know, MotoGP has been going through a strange growing period with the aerodynamics. You know, Dorna wants to, or the FIM really wants to limit. They don't want the factories going crazy. You know, I think we see this with Formula One. You know, if you let the aerodynamic rules go unchecked, it becomes a factor of money. And so I think one of the magics of MotoGP is how close the racing is. And so in an effort to let, you know, the teams that don't spend the dollars that Honda and, you know, to some extent Ducati spend, you know, they try to limit what the bikes can do, which on one hand is frustrating as a technical fan, because I want to see just the craziest, you know, most extreme bikes out there. I mean, this is MotoGP. I mean, this is top level stuff, you know?
Yeah. Last year, Ducati was running those crazy on the side fairings. They had almost like a box type structure, you know, wings running off the front. I don't think we saw that this year on the bike though, right? Did they call them winglets, or what was the,
I forget the term. I mean, the bikes definitely have the winglets. You know, last year they had to be connected. There couldn't be any protruding. Uh-huh. I mean, they basically cited it as a safety issue. So that's where you saw like almost the holes in the side of the fairings. And so it was just bending the rules. But yeah, the quote unquote tire cooler attached to the underneath the bottom side of the swing arm. Did it produce any effect? You know, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, they didn't have that last year. And it was almost the exact same finish between Dovizioso and Marquez. But for sure, it is going to help manage that rear tire. I mean, it's almost what it's all about. I mean, MotoGP, for better or for worse, is kind of famous for, you know, really, you pay attention to the last five laps. I mean, that's when all the action starts happening, right? Which, you know, some races are better than others like that. But, you know, I think definitely this race was that. I mean, like I said, Dovizioso and to some extent Marquez were just kind of managing the pace for the first three-fourths of the race and then, you know, kind of let it uncheck. I mean, and obviously you saw that in the lap times being posted. Fastest laps came in on lap 15, 16. So yeah, I mean, obviously we saw the four factories protest after the race, the legality of the quote unquote tire cooler. Most of them are citing that it's produces an aerodynamic effect, which, you know, there might be a secondary effect to that. Now, I also think that this is probably it is what Ducati is saying it is. And so, you know, and I think that they don't really want to punish Dovizioso. I think they just really want to get clear on the legality. And if it's something that they can do, then they want to be able to develop it as well.
Yeah, for sure. Who else stood out for you from the field? I mean, we talked about Suzuki with Rins and Mir, and end up finishing fourth and eighth after qualifying 10th and 11th. So really good, impressive showing from them as a team, right? Not only as individuals, but just getting up there in the points and making their presence felt early on. So what kind of anticipations do you have for the season, or maybe like someone to watch?
Well, definitely Rins. Suzuki is really making a strong showing. I think that they are on the right track. Obviously, they're lacking a little bit of horsepower. We saw that, you know, just with getting blown by the Ducati. And to some extent, the Honda as well. I mean, the Honda has stepped up their engine package this year.
Ducati traditionally has always been, well, wait horsepower for them on the straights. You'll see what happens. And in certain track, you know, depending on where you're at and location and how straight though and how long and straight they are, like they can just make up for every mistake that they had. You know, 90% of a lap, they can make mistakes. And then that 10% of a lap, just make up 10, 15 feet, you know, and just
right.
But Honda is incredibly impressive, not only in the straights, but also in the corners. It's a really good hybrid of everything. But don't say that to Lorenzo, because he didn't seem to have a good showing this week.
Yeah, poor Lorenzo. You know, he seemed to can't get off of the injuries, you know. And after the race, we saw that he actually has a fractured rib, you know, so he's not really – clearly he's not fully healed. I mean, Quartararo, obviously starting from pit lane, ends up passing Lorenzo early on. You know, I definitely don't count Lorenzo out. It's clear that if he has the bike, has the confidence underneath him, he can win races. So I think he's coming. I just think that he needs to get healthy, needs to get some time on the bike. And I think later on we'll see Lorenzo up there with everybody else.
Last year, late season, he was putting in work. He had, I don't know how many wins, multiple wins towards the end of the year.
Right.
And we all know he was going to Honda, leaving Ducati, and he was out there showing what he could do and telling Honda they spent money in the right place. So
See. Yeah. Well, yeah, Ducati finally listened to him, fixed his gas tank issue, fixed his really the grip with his the lower half of his body, and it seemed to make all the difference for him. So, yeah, don't count Lorenzo out yet. And yeah, so speaking of Honda's Crutchlow, obviously amazing race by him. From coming from the worst crash of his career, not sure if he's going to be able to race, you know, ever again. To, yeah, he finished fourth. Is that right? Yeah,
finished Crutchlow fourth. Third on the podium.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Third.
Davi Marquez, Crutchlow in third, 0.32 seconds off
the pace. Yeah, so to podium first race. That's a good showing on Cal. I know he deserves a good season, because he struggled last year. I mean, he struggled a lot. I mean, he's a great rider. I mean, he's probably going to end up being one of the best British riders, MotoGP riders ever. And so, yeah, I'd like to see him. I think he's got the skill to battle at the top, and especially would love to see a satellite team battle for the championship. So
yeah, for sure. And another British rider, Bradley Smith, finished 21st. So we had three DNFs this past week. Brad Smith was one of them, Miller, and then Bagnaia on the Ducati was out. So speaking of Miller, he had an incident early on in the race that led to his, you know, his entering of the pits and just kind of bowing out. The seat came undone from the frame. Not sure if it was an issue with the wreck that occurred during qualifying and having to rebuild the bike,
right?
The compound that was used, temperature, whatever, et cetera.
Yeah, very, very strange.
To me, it was surprising that he just threw the seat, I guess, in the heat of the moment. You know, you're not really worried about what's going on, but I would assume there would be some sort of penalty because he's up at the front of the pack, plenty of guys behind him. He just grabs this a part of his bike and just throws it out onto the track to get rid of
right.
it. Surprised that nothing came of that, but in the end, he had to pull into the pits.
Right. Yeah, that was very interesting. And I'm also surprised that I don't even know if there was a an inquiry into that by the race direction. But yeah, so he lost his seat. My guess is that it would have something to do with his FP4 crash or qualifying crash. And yeah, if they had to put the seat unit together, and maybe the glue didn't have time to correctly adhere, you know, paint issue, who knows? I don't think we've heard yet what that was, but yeah. So he had to change his body position, obviously, in a way that essentially he couldn't hang off the bike nearly as much. I mean, you lose the seat. The seat foam pad provides a lot of grip for your lower body when you're hanging off the bike. And so if you can't do that, you end up having to lean the bike further to make the same corner speed, which in turn for Jack ended up just destroying his front tire and had to retire from the race. So yeah, he also was showing good pace. So that's unfortunate. Definitely another guy that was fast last year. And again, it's going to be fast this year, I think. Just the Ducatis are just, they're so good. And so, which is another thing that what I hope to see this year, and I'm no Ducati fanboy, but I really think it's time for Ducati to get a championship. You know, it's been about 10 years, right?
Be time for somebody other than Mark Marquez to get a championship. I think let's just start there.
Yeah. I mean, they got to earn it. You know, it's
for sure.
You know, you can't give it away, but, I think they're really putting a lot of effort into it. You know, it's been 10 years, Casey Stoner. I think, Dovizioso is the guy to do it. I think he's got the intelligence, the racecraft to beat Marquez at his games. I mean,
but MotoGP is not known for team play either, but Petrucci coming from the Pramac team last year onto a Ducati Now factory team this year if there were a teammate to maybe help Davi a little bit, push him towards the front if, you know, it occurs. I think he's the guy. Right?
Yeah, I just don't think that the teams operate in a way that the riders help each other, you know, in any way. I mean, again, we saw this last year in Thailand, I think, where Lorenzo and Davi were, Lorenzo didn't want to give it up, you know, and he was getting the mapping eight, the famous mapping eight, and, you know, wouldn't switch it and wouldn't let Davi by. And so I just don't think they operate like that. And I don't think Petrucci would either. You know, Petrucci is hungry too. I mean, he's a fast rider. And I think if he's in the opportunity, they're going to battle. I mean, I don't think they're going to let each other by. So we'll see. Maybe that effect is going to could block Marquez out. But yeah.
Yeah. I think at this point it's going to take a team effort to stop Mark Marquez from being on the podium every race this season, barring that he doesn't, you know, crash out trying to push himself too hard during the race at some point. Or, I mean, I don't see him qualifying, you know, really off the second row most of the year. So he's going to have clean air. He's going to be the front of the pack. I mean, he looks as healthy as ever and on top form. So there's nothing that tells me that, you know, it's going to change this year. He's a Lewis Hamilton. Yeah. Of F1 or of,
well, and that's a good point. I mean, he is looking very healthy. Obviously over the winter he had shoulder surgery to fix his dislocation issue. And so he's obviously healed well and it's not impeding his performance now. However, we do know how much he does crash. And so if his body can't take these crashes anymore, you know, we'll see. And maybe he's going to adjust his riding style now that he's, you know, got the shoulder, because yeah, it's going to be fragile, you know? So that's what I could see. I could see as a possibility happening this year is that Marquez, you know, ends up injured from pushing him in. I mean, that's his style. He finds the limit in practice and qual, really in practice, but you know, sets the qualifying pace. And then by race time, I mean, he knows what's up. So we'll see. But
so, yeah, great race in Qatar for the GP class. But we also had Moto 2 and Moto 3 that happened before. And if you guys are out there and you're watching GP or you're watching F1, but you don't really take the time to look into the Moto 2, Moto 3s or F2 races, take that time. It is wildly entertaining. Lots of young, hungry riders and drivers. It's closer than ever most of the time. I mean, it's very entertaining racing. So
yeah, for sure. Moto 3 and Moto 2 is great racing. So yeah, quickly Moto 3. I think the highlight for me was Romano Fanati's performance. You know, I think we can rehash quickly what happened last year with him. Essentially, grabbed the front brake of another rider. In the heat of battle, and didn't think, most people thought he was gone. Most people thought that he was going to be banned from racing forever. Ends up that he gets let back in, keeps his license, comes back, and he was a monster in the Moto 3 race. Really was coming through the pack well. At one point, ended up getting a track limits warning message on his dash, which was just warning him, but he ended up taking that as actually to take the penalty. So, you know, he was there in the front, took the long lap penalty, which was really only cut, was it like a 3 second penalty or so? But yeah, so didn't end up having to take that. Kind of shot himself in the foot, but you know, I think he's at that point where he's walking on thin ice, so he's going to try to do whatever he needs to do and be overly cautious. Now, yeah, I think clearly he didn't understand what that means, but you know, he's going to be, I think that he probably will not make that mistake again this year.
And, no, I think, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And then in Moto 2, Baldessari and Luthi battling, again, ended up in a super close race. I mean, all three of these races were judged by, you know, a tire length. It was so close, and it just makes for really entertaining, 45 minutes or so. So yeah, I really enjoy watching those. But we'll be looking forward to, you know, because Qatar went off, you know, Qatar is kind of it's kind of an outlier. I mean, it's the only night race, you know, they have this issue with, as the temperature comes down, the track conditions change.
There's track evolution is a big part of that.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where the performance of the riders in this race, how that stacks up. So, but it's, you'd be a fool to judge, you know, the winner, the championship winner now, because it's a long season. So, but let's go ahead and switch over to Formula One. And so
let's do it. Lots of changes this year.
Yes, lots of changes. So we had qualifying today. What stood out to you, Josh?
Qualifying. So again, we just talked about a little bit in Qatar, the night race, right? Track evolution. So towards the end of Q1, I was watching it. I'm sitting there. I'm like, all right, so the Red Bull's in the pits. You know, the number two driver, Pierre Gasly, just hanging out. I was like, all right, that's cool. So everybody else coming through. You see everybody crossing the line and just moving down the board. As you can see, as the track started to get a little bit more rubber accumulation, a little better grip, tires getting warm, the time just started to go down and down. So at the end of Q1, Red Bull, Pierre Gasly, he qualified P17, knocked out, sitting in the garage, and he's going to start very far back from his teammate Max Verstappen, who ended up splitting the Ferraris at the end of qualifying for P4 in second row of the grid for the race.
Yeah, Gasly was clearly a little overconfident that he didn't maybe stay out a little bit longer, take another lap.
It's surprising Christian Horner, their team principal, he's no amateur whatsoever. Like, it surprised me a little bit that they were that confident. And I think it speaks to maybe some of the rule changes they made, the new hungry rookies. The midfield this year is going to be closer than ever to the front and closer than ever in between one another. You know, there won't be as much of a disparaging, you know, gap between the fourth place team and the eighth place team. It's going to be much closer than it was last year. I think at the top, we know who we have. There's Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull. And then you have the rest. Renault last year were the best of the rest, but this year, it'd be really easy to have the rich energy Haas, the American team, with the Ferrari power unit, Romain Grosjean, Kevin Magnussen, experienced drivers at this point in their career, multiple seasons in F1, working together, trying to get to be at least the best of the rest and fight Red Bull for some podium positions. I expect that to happen this year. Renault, poor showing. Daniel Ricciardo at his home GP, couldn't find the pace. Both Renaults, him and Hülkenberg, didn't make it past Q2. So, very unfortunate for them.
Yeah, definitely unfortunate. And I'm sure Ricciardo making that switch to Renault was hoping that, you know, he would get and he'd become the number one guy for Renault and there'd be a package under him to really fight for that championship. So, you know, hopefully this isn't an ominous, you know, warning for the rest of the season. But yeah, you know, speaking to the hoping that the pack condenses and we don't just see Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull at the top, and then we really get some of this best the rest business behind us. You know, I think that's really important for F1. Now, obviously, it's the most popular car racing sport in the world, but you know, to attract new fans, to keep fans, you gotta, I think they, and they're taking steps. I think with the aerodynamic changes to really, you know, get this pack tight.
Yeah, they reduced the complexity. The front wings last year had all kinds of little winglets and attachments and bells and whistles, if you will. But now this year they're limited to the number of gradients of the fin they can have. So it's only five layers. They reduced the barge boards on the side. Basically, the entire intent of the rule change this year was to decrease the amount of dirty air that the car produces so that anybody that's behind and following trying to overtake, they can actually get that done without being interfered with all the dirty air. A lot of times you'll see F1 cars running a second and a half, 2 seconds behind just so they have clean air and they're not wearing down their tires and, you know, and breaking down their car for the rest of the race. So I think thus far it looks good. Bigger rear wing. I think the 20 millimeter increase to that rear wing. So it's going to add a lot more for the DRS zones, the drag reduction system. So once they hit that, there should be a lot more advantages. But the one issue this weekend is Australian GP at Melbourne. Street circuit, it's flat, not a lot of elevation or any real straightaways where you can execute some passing. So last year during the race, we only saw five overtakes. So I don't anticipate too much passing this weekend, but we'll see what happens if the rule changes make a difference in that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm a big fan of street circuits. You know, probably my favorite GP race is Baku, Azerbaijan. I think obviously last year was a thrilling race. So a lot of controversy in that. I'm hoping that, you know, it tightens up the pack and we see, yeah, and maybe the qualifying isn't always. I mean, here's the thing. The first three laps of F1 race, anything can happen.
The first corner.
Anything can happen.
And it does. Yeah. So, like you said, the street circuit, not a lot of runoff. You got walls instead of grass or gravel. So, when you're coming in and you're fighting, you run somebody wide, you're going to run them into a wall. And that will bring out a caution. And that will bring in race strategy and a lot of other things. We saw Vettel and Hamilton get tangled up last year under a caution flag. We saw, I think it was Grosjean was doing the, you know, the warming up his tires and knocking the marbles off, going, you know, left and right with his wheel, and ended up just running into the wall and breaking off one of his, you know, his front end, and that caused the flag to be even longer. So, yeah, anything can happen, especially early on. It gets really squirrely around those first few corners when everyone's fighting for track position. So, right now, Lewis is sitting on top with Valtteri Bottas, his teammate, right behind him. Then you have Vettel and Verstappen and Leclerc. But they're all going to be fighting for track position at turn one. So we'll see who comes out of it and how it goes from there. Also, it doesn't really make a big difference because, yeah, Lewis qualified on top, right? He's going to be there. We know he's going to be there. But he also did that the past two seasons. And guess who won the race? Sebastian Vettel. So it's kind of a repeat of last year. We'll see how it plays out in the end. But expect to see that undercut and that strategy come from Ferrari. And I think Mercedes will be waiting for it. Trying to fight back.
Yeah. Give me your thoughts on Max Verstappen and where he's going to end up this year.
So
do you think he's got
Mad Max is my favorite driver on the grid because he's young. I mean, he's the youngest Grand Prix winner. Think about all active drivers. He's got balls. He doesn't care if he upsets you. He's not a team player. Him and Ricardo got tangled up last year. They ran right into each other. So if there's someone at the top that's going to shake it up, it's going to be Max. For me, he had two race wins last year. I think you could safely add one to that. There's certain tracks where Red Bull perform really well. The Mexico Grand Prix, the Hungaroring. So, I mean,
right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he had at least three wins and five podiums this season, but he'll be part of the conversation for sure throughout the year.
Yeah. I think a lot of people want to see him get the championship. I think it would be a great thing for the sport. I think it'd be great for the Red Bull team, you know, with the new Honda engine this year, to really kind of prove that, you know, they've got the engineering underneath them. You know, I also think that, without a teammate like Ricardo, he may not get into certain situations he got into last year, just with like we saw at Baku, where they kind of shoot themselves in the foot, you know, kind of battling each other, which ends up just slowing them down, you know. So I don't think Gasly is going to provide that level of competition against Verstappen. So
no, Gasly, I mean, he wants to win like any other driver. These guys are, they're all madmen, right? Like if you're an F1 driver, your mentality is a certain way. It's just the way you are. Same MotoGP, same fighter pilots, all that. So they're competitive. These are the most competitive people on the planet, probably. But Gasly just moving up from Toro Rosso. He's been in the Red Bull family for a long time. He's not going to ruin those relationships. He's locked in as a number two. They know Max is a number one. If team orders, if, you know, if Christian Horner comes out and says, hey, do this, pit now, block, create space, I very much believe that he will do all of those things. I don't think they would have picked him for the job if he wouldn't do that. We see Valtteri do it all the time. I love Bottas. I think he's a great driver, but a lot of times he definitely, Lewis owes him a lot for his championships because he has been a golden teammate throughout the years. And I'd love to see them, if they're going to be battling at the top, I'd love to see the two of them just be going head to head and have no team orders and just go balls to the walls, because that's some good driving when they're going at it.
Definitely. Definitely. Yep. So looking forward to tomorrow. I think, do you have any predictions? Who are you putting your money on? What's your podium look like?
So much like I just said, I'm going to have a hot take or a bold prediction. So I think that Ferrari will not win this year for the third time in a row. I think Mercedes will hang on to that first position. I think they'll expect the undercut as soon as they see that Ferrari come in. If they're behind them, they'll be pitting right after. They won't let them get those fresh tires and those quick laps and that track position back. So I see Valtteri Bottas edging out Lewis Hamilton just because I think he's that much more hungry than he ever has been. This year, he already came out and said it during the testing and the qualifying interviews. He's letting the dog off the leash this year. He's going for it all. So another thing, I think Haas will be the best of the rest this year. I think they're going to have a good race. So if you go on Netflix, if you're a fan, there's a current documentary, Drive to Survive, docuseries. And the first few episodes really highlight the Haas team and their issues that they had at the Australian Grand Prix last year. So both pit stops, one of the tire changers, the air gun that was being used, didn't get the wheel nut on properly. So one driver after another, back to back, they had to both, you know, DNF the race because of an issue, but they were running really strong and they could have had a great finish. So I expect them to shake those demons this year and end in a, I would say, middle. So somewhere between fifth and eighth, you know, both drivers would be nice to see them finish there and get a really good start to the season.
Yep. Yep. I agree. Yeah. I'm going to put, Hamilton winning, but I think we're going to lose, some of the better drivers in incidents. So, it's going to be hard to say, but, I do think Ricardo is going to be up there. Hopefully he can stay out of trouble. And, I would like to see him battle Max, now that they're in different cars, no holds bar, but yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good little storyline and preview to the season. Get them on separate teams, no orders, just mano y mano on the track. So if Ricardo does make his way up to the top, the last Australian to finish on the podium was back in 1983 at the home field. So John Smith was the last driver to finish. So it's been a long time, many moons ago. Ricardo did technically finish on the podium last year, but he was disqualified later or moved down because of a penalty. So the official finish hasn't happened since 83.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. So please subscribe, review. You can contact us at weeklyovertake@gmail.com if you've got questions or if you'd like to provide some show input. Other than that, we will see you next week. Mm-hmm.